Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In today's gospel, the Lord said he would make the disciples fishers of men. I keep noticing that word immediately. They went right away. They dropped what they were doing and tried to imagine being in that situation. Were they crazy? Here comes this guy. Follow me. Why did they follow him? You think I know? It was the Spirit of God, right? Most of us don't do that. We don't follow God immediately. We mess around. We come in various ways, stumbling, falling away, coming back. And from my experience, and it probably applies to a lot of us, I think we struggle to even make a good start. We make a start, we fall away, and we try to make another start. Now today we remember all the saints of North America, and I wanted to focus in on one of them, a young man who made a good start, and he didn't fall away when things got tough. And I mean really tough. The first divine liturgy in what is now American territory was celebrated on a ship on July the 20th, 1741, the feast of the prophet Elias. It was in Alaskan waters on a ship named Peter. It was under the command of a Danish man who was in the service of Russia, whose name was Vitus Bering. That's why we call it the Bering Strait, right? And there were two Russian priests to hire a monk, Ilarion Trusov, and the priest Ignaty Kozarevsky. They served together on that occasion. So that was the first Orthodox liturgy. Eventually, Russian fur traders came, and these guys were called Pramishleniki, that was an old word for these fur traders who went to Siberia and also came to Alaska, and they established these trading posts. These were rough men that did this. They were not, they weren't saints. Then several years later, after they had established these outposts, remember, Alaska was owned by the Russians. There was a Russian merchant named Gregory Shelikov, and he visited the Valam Monastery in Russia, which is almost in Finland, and he talked to the abbot, and basically I think he misrepresented how wonderful things were in Alaska. This is the land of milk and honey, and the natives are friendly, you know. So they sent a bunch of guys who walked all the way across Russia and then went on a boat, a bunch of monks. Of course, Alaska is a cold and harsh land. Even the Russian monks, they had a hard time in Alaska. Some of the natives loved them. Some of the natives hated them. But they came. Then from these earliest Russians, the first Orthodox martyr came, named Juvenali, and he was killed near the lake Ilyamna, so that's what we call him, Juvenali of Ilyamna. We remember him every Sunday at Matins. And we also remember another one, the second martyr, Peter the Aleut, who was of the Aleutian people. We have the Aleutian Islands named after these people. Now, we could see this Peter in the context of the geopolitics of that time. He got caught up in that in a way. The Russians had these trading centers in Alaska. And then they formed a company, the Russian American Trading Company. Then the monks came in 1794. And as I said, some of the natives were very receptive, especially the Aleutians were very receptive. Some of their holy men, their shamans, had even foreseen that men would come from the east and bring the truth. So they were very receptive. Others were not. You have to understand that these Pramishleniki, these traders, they would force the natives to work. They weren't nice like the monks. But anyway, over time, They started running short on supplies. One reason was the fur trading business was going down. People back in Russia weren't buying as much. They wanted to sell in Asia, but they were barred from these markets. And also, it's very similar to today, the geopolitics. So, and they were running low on food, so they started thinking, well, maybe we could go south because it's warmer there, and the, you know, we could hunt more. They would hunt for otter pelts. That was the fur that they were dealing in. So the geopolitical aspect is that Spain owned California. So when they started going south, the Spanish started getting nervous, you know. But the otter were going south too, so really they almost had no choice. So they started going more and more into California. They established a fort there called Fort Ross. There are still traces of this Russian presence in California. Fort Ross is there. You can go visit. You can. There's a museum. The name Ross, it was not named after an American guy named Ross. It was named after the Russian word for Russia, Russia. So I found that to be very interesting, and I didn't know it. I used to live in Northern California. I remember people back then talking about going up to the Russian River. Well, that's also up in that area in Northern California. And I assume that it ties back into this Russian presence. I'm sure there's more, but I didn't have time to look into it. So as I said, these fur traders were rough men. They basically forced the natives to hunt for them. The monastics, when they came, they became really advocates for the natives. They didn't treat them roughly. They didn't try to force them to convert to Orthodoxy. They just came and lived the holy life. And these men had some spirituality to them. They could see that there was something, and they joined on their own. When these ships had to go south to California, at times they would employ Americans. These Americans had certain skills the natives didn't have to run a ship. And they also had familiarity with the natives, so they could be a go-between sometimes. But over time, they started going further and further south. And Fort Ross was about 100 miles north of San Francisco, but they would venture down, and the Spanish were getting more and more unhappy about this. They demanded eventually, you Russians, get out of the Fort Ross, you know. And they started precipitating, you know, unpleasant incidents, you might say. Eventually, they arrested a group of mainly the natives, the Aleuts, who were Russian Orthodox converts. And they split the group up. There was 20 or 30 of them. Some of them were in San Francisco. Some were taken down to even as far as Los Angeles, I think. Eventually, there was a group. It ended up with a group of 14 in San Francisco, and it included a native by the name of Chugagnac. But he was a baptized Orthodox Christian given the name Peter. So the American, the captain of this ship that went down there was named Wadsworth or something like that. The only account we have is in Russian, so they didn't know how to write Wadsworth in Russian. You know, they wrote Vodsmit or something. They had a fleet of 25 native canoes that went along with the boat. So the boat was like, you know, the place that kept everything going, and these canoes could go out and hunt for the otter. And among 49 of these natives on this ship was Peter the Aleut. Now they start, as I said, Fort Ross was 100 miles north of San Francisco. They started working their way down, hunting along the way. They went past Bodega Bay. They went to the Farallon Islands, which are off the coast near San Francisco. And then they started eyeballing San Francisco Bay. And that's when they started messing up. So Captain Wadsworth said, I want you guys to go on in there at night, you know. And that was illegal. That was bound to make the Spanish mad if they were caught. Some were captured, later released. But they still didn't learn the lesson from this. They kept going down further. They went down to Santa Barbara. And the Spanish were waiting for them this time. They arrested a bunch of them. Eventually, as I said, a group was in San Francisco and so on. And among these was Peter the Aleut. While these men were in detention, California got a new governor. The old governor was kind of relaxed, and he made side deals with the Russians and let people go. But the new guy was said, I'm by the book. So these guys in detention were now in big trouble. And as I said, it appears that Peter was among this second group. They wanted to convert these natives to Catholicism. I'm going to read the account that was left to us by a Russian, Simeon Yanovsky, who eventually became a schema monk, Sergei. And just the best I can do is just read this. It's not pleasant. On another occasion, I was relating to him how the Spanish in California had imprisoned 14 Aleuts and how the Jesuits, actually the Franciscans probably, were forcing all of them to accept the Catholic faith, but the Aleuts would not agree under any circumstances, saying, "We are Christians." The Jesuits argued, "That's not true. You are heretics and schismatics. If you do not agree to accept our faith, then we will torture all of you to death." Then the Aleuts were placed in prisons, two to a cell. That evening, the Jesuits came to the prison with lanterns and lighted candles. Again, they tried to persuade two Aleuts in the cell to accept the Catholic faith. "We are Christians," the Aleuts replied, "and we will not change our faith." Then the Jesuits began to torture them. At first, the one, while his companion was a witness, they cut off one of the joints of his feet and then the other joint. Then they cut the first joint on the fingers of his hands and then the other joint. Then they cut off his feet and his hands. The blood flowed, but the martyr endured all and firmly repeated one thing, "I am a Christian." He died in such suffering due to a loss of blood. The Jesuits promised to torture his comrade the next day, but that night an order was received from Monterey stating that the imprisoned Aleuts were to be released immediately and sent there under escort. Therefore, in the morning, all were sent to Monterey, with the exception of Peter. This was related to me by a witness, the same Aleut who had escaped torture. In other words, Peter's cellmate told Simeon Yanovsky, "I reported this incident to the authorities in St. Petersburg. When I finished my story, Father Herman asked," this is Father Herman, whom we also remember today, "what was the name of the martyred Aleut?" I answered, "Peter." I do not remember his family name. The elder stood reverently before an icon, made the sign of the cross, and said, "Holy new martyr, Peter, pray to God for us." Now, as you might imagine, if you go look around the internet, you'll find that Catholics dispute this account. Some say that Peter the Aleut didn't even exist. However, if we look at the situation, as I described the geopolitics, and also the way that the Spanish conducted their missions in California, I believe the story has credibility. And the way they would typically start a mission is offer the natives gifts. They would get them to submit to baptism, which they didn't even necessarily know what that meant, but they just wanted the stuff. Then they would say, "Okay, now you're a Christian, you have to help us build a church. Now you got to build a fort." Then they would lock them in the fort, make them go to church, listen to Latin Mass. If they tried to escape and go back to the village, they could see the village right out there, but they couldn't go. So they would be punished. So the rough treatment seems consistent with, although this torture of Peter was extreme, no doubt. Now, as I said, the Russian model as far as the missionary aspect was quite different. Although I'm not, like I said, the traders were rough men. They didn't necessarily treat the natives fairly. But the monks practiced the same model they had used in Siberia. When they went to Siberia, there were native people there who were not Russians, but they just went to and established a monastery. They were looking for a quiet place to live and worship, and their example converted people. They didn't use trickery or force. And guess what? They didn't make as many converts as the Catholics did. But We don't believe the end justifies the means, do we? That's not the Orthodox way. So, Orthodoxy definitely left its mark on Alaska. There are churches there today that are very old. There are still many Native Orthodox Christians. And as I said, the Alaska Natives embraced Orthodoxy. They weren't tricked or coerced. So what can I say? Let us follow their example. Let's embrace it 100%. Through the prayers of St. Peter the Aleut and all the saints, have mercy on us.